hello from the Christian Worship Hour and our series this month on four wonderful people of the Old Testament. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, was grateful to be with you each week. Please invite your friends, family, and neighbors to join us. A special part of our day at CWH is hearing from you, our viewers, and reading your letters, emails, and Facebook comments. From Michigan, one viewer writes, "God bless you for the work you continue to do. You carry on to make strides delivering God's message in an ever-changing world. We are now enjoying you on YouTube, and we love all the ways you have used technology to bring the message to all. The website work and social media engagement is awesome." Today's message, Samuel, a man sold out to God, provides lessons to live by, including making God the center of our life, being true to God's word, and serving God as long as you live. We hope our program will be of encouragement to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when a week rolls by and we can all gather together. And just think, all over the world, we're gathered at the feet of Jesus. We're gathered at the throne of grace. And someday, we're all going to be there. Everyone who accepts Jesus, you have to have Jesus. You must be born again. Remember that. And so we're going to be looking at that today. And we're going to be studying about a very godly man named Samuel. And so maybe call your friends and say a little prayer, and we'll have a good time worshiping the dear Lord Jesus Christ. We're reading from Psalm 46, the opening verses. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful refuge we find in you. We'll never find it in this world. We'll never find it with the government. We'll never find it with the money or the fame or the fortune or all of the rest. It's only in you, the dear Heavenly Father, and your wonderful Son, Jesus. And it is our prayer that in this service today, those who do not know you, those who are not your children, those who have not been born again, pray that they'll come to Jesus and find everlasting life and everlasting joy. So we love you, dear Lord. We dedicate this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing for us now, Near the Cross. And God bless you, Jan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. God bless you. And that's what St. Paul said. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, there's only one thing I brag about and I boast about, and that's the old rugged cross, the wonderful cross of Christ. On that cross, he suffered and he bled and he died. He was buried, and the third day he rose from the grave, and he's alive forever. He'll never die again. And one of these bright sunny days, he'll come back. And you better be ready, dear brother, sister. If you're ready, it'll be the most wonderful thing in your life. If you're not ready, it's going to be a horrible experience. So come to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. We're going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you want to locate that. But first, I want to read some letters. And here's a letter that I don't think I know we've never had before. We've never had this situation. But we have a woman in one prison and her husband in a different prison. And they're talking about Jesus. And you listen to how it comes out. This lady writes from the women's prison in Missoula, Montana. She said, I thank you and God for the ministry you do. I had always considered myself a Christian since I'd grown up going to church. It was not until a few months ago I really became a Christian, being born again. I prayed every day for 3.5 months for God then to fill my husband with the Holy Spirit, to work on his heart so he would give his heart to God and accept Jesus as his personal Savior. Now listen to this. I received a letter saying he has received Jesus in his heart. Praise God. God is so good. I'd like to request prayer for him in his new faith, that he be strong, protected from the enemy, trying to get him set back, and for him to have a strong Christian friends while he's incarcerated. Isn't that beautiful? They both came to know the Lord in different prisons. Well, we've written to both of them. We sent literature to both of them. And you know how we could do that? Because you supported this ministry. There's no way we could carry this on unless you gave liberally. And I'm going to talk about that. We have to take an offering. Can't have a service without an offering, for goodness sake. And so you be thinking about that. But you're the one that helped to make this possible. This husband and this wife, different prisons, both born again. Praise God. Here's Reno, Nevada. Thank you so much for sending me the new song every month. I read it and all and pass it along. And so the new song is a little publication we put out every month. And it has a little Bible study. This month is Following Jesus' Footsteps. That Jesus is our model and he's the one we follow. So we're going to look at his life. And there's scripture to go with it. And then there's a sermon topics that we're going to have. And there's the text, you can find it. There are memorials in there that people send in. There are excerpts from letters. It is a wonderful little paper. We really ought to charge for it. But we are such nice people, we send it free. And so you just write to us. Get your pencil and paper ready, and we'll be ready to go on that in a minute. Here's Cameron, Missouri. You have made my life closer to my Maker. I have not missed you each week. Could you tell me, will we have our pets in heaven? I lost my husband 20 years ago, and my pets played a big part of helping me through the pain, and I often wonder if they go to heaven, being God put them in my life to fill the void. Until we meet in heaven, God bless you. We get quite a number of letters. Are there pets in heaven? Now, we always had pets out on the farm, and I thought the world of them, and I can see how you could be attached to them. But I don't know of any scripture that says there are pets in heaven, except God had animals in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? So if he had them in the Garden of Eden, why wouldn't he have them in heaven? So we'll find out for sure. But I would just thank you for this letter. Oh, now here, look at here. This is just a one-liner. Pensacola, Florida. Thank you, Brother Salem. You are a light in a world that doesn't want God. What do you think of that? He's right on. The world doesn't want God. That's why they get it out of the Bibles out of the schools, and that's why they hate church that preaches the gospel, and that's why they don't come under the preaching of the gospel, and that's why they don't want God mentioned. What did he say here? A world that doesn't want God. That's exactly right. Here is Pella, Iowa. I'm 64 years old. Thank you so much for your services. They have helped me so much in my times of grieving ever since the passing of my wife on December 16th, 2014. Then you continue to have sermons that help answer thoughts and questions I get on bad days without my wife. It feels like God is helping to answer all my needs through your sermons every week when I need it. Keep up the good work for all of us like me who need it, because we are all nothing without God. Well, you see, here's the thing. He's getting messages all the time. You know why he's getting messages that are helping him? Because it's the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit applies it to everybody's heart. And all over the world, the Holy Spirit is doing that. And so God says what you have to do by song and by word, you get that word out and you preach it, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. How can you beat that? And that's why I know every time we have a service, every time they sing, every time I preach, I know there are people coming to Jesus because the Holy Spirit's doing his work. We're not doing anything. Parrot could do as good as I'm doing, but the Word of God, that's where the power is, and it'll never return void to God. Well, oh, look at here, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Although I am a Mormon by faith, I occasionally watch your program on Sunday mornings. I enjoy the music selections, and I do admire the years you've been teaching from the Holy Bible. May the Heavenly Father continue to bless you with good health and a long life, and God bless you. And so isn't this nice? You see, I'll tell you why people of all denominations can worship with us, because we're non-denominational. We don't promote any denomination. We just preach the Bible. And then you let the God word talk to you with that Bible, with the Word of God. And I don't care if you're what denomination you have, or if you're a non-denominational, if you don't even know what denomination you are. Maybe you're so confused you don't even know what church you're supposed to belong to. God only knows. But we just preach the Bible. That's where the power is. Now here's a letter that I want you to look at. I want you all to pray for this person. It's in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. I have an extreme illness and pray day and night to be released from the bondage. It feels so stuck in my mind and body, and feels like this is Satan's attack on me as I've repented of my own way of living, drinking, drugs, men, rebellion, and so forth. This feels like my last battle, and I'm having the hardest time surrendering what seems to be the final fight of my life to freedom in Christ. Oh, how I love Jesus. I've tried every treatment center, program, prayer from the elders. It's attached itself to me like a bondage or a curse. And here looks what she says. I'm in the battle of my life, and worry it's too late, and I'm not strong enough to fight due to physical chronic depression and anxiety. Thank you for all you do to give me strength. You know, this is why I love the gospel. I love to preach the gospel, because there's no battle won until you die. After you're dead, it's all settled. But this dear lady, and I've written to her, sent literature already to her, God tells us he loves us. He hates our sin, but he loves us. And if we come to him and cast ourselves on his mercy and accept Jesus as our Savior, he will forgive us. And just remember this, St. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. And I'm going to tell you, brother, he was a bad one, killed the Christians and made some of them blaspheme God. Now, how can you make a man blaspheme God? Easy. You just take their little baby and hold that little baby and say, if you don't curse God, I'm going to cut his head off. What would you do? And that's what he did. And they blasphemed God. And what did St. Paul said? He says, I'm the chief of sinners, but God saved me. And if he saved the chief, he can save all the rest of us. And we're all in the same boat. We didn't do the same kind of sin, but God doesn't care. Sin is sin. And you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all. And so to this dear lady, I've written to her, you just ask Jesus into your heart. And then what you have to do is believe Jesus. Believe what he says. He says that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto thee, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death to life. John 5:24. Oh, the glorious gospel. There is no such thing as a hopeless condition. But once you die, then it's it. And remember the thief on the cross? The last second, his last breath, he believed in Jesus. And Jesus says, you're going to be with me in heaven today. Today you're going to be with me in paradise. Oh, oh my God, it's wonderful. And then one more I want to read. And that's Spencer, Iowa. I'm 77 and have become closer to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in these past 3 years listening to your messages and that I have ever been. My heart is so full of love and praise to God. He has truly touched my life through your ministry. I pray he keeps on giving you many more years to come. I'm thankful for sending his son Jesus to us. Oh my goodness, isn't that wonderful? Now listen, all of these people that we've helped, you've had a part in it. You have an investment in it. If you've prayed for us and if you've sent gifts to help us, you have a part in this. We couldn't do it without you. You can't do it without us, and we can't do it without you. So we join hands and the whole world gets the gospel. So that leads me to the next thing. We need your help. And we need you to pray about it and say, now, do I want to invest in that? Dear God, should I support that ministry? You ask God, and if he says yes, then you say, how much? And one, you give what he says. Don't you be a piker, back out. Do what he says. And I'll tell you what you do. You send it to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. Get tongue-tied here. I get so excited talking about money. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send a gift on the internet, you can do that. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And wherever you are in the world, you can send a gift and help us, and we'll get it in current United States currency. We'll pay our bills, and we'll spread the gospel. Now, I know what some of you are saying. You say, well, what if I send them a lot of money and they put it in their pocket? Well, we got that all taken care of. There is an organization called, and you can get there on the website and read all about them. It's the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And what they do is they audit all of our books. And they tell us how we take the money from the post office and how we take it to the office. And then another person counts it and another person enters it and another person deposits it. You'd think we was a bunch of thieves and we're just God-fearing people. But that's their rigmarole. That's where their layout. And we follow it to a T. Then they audit our books. And not only that, they'd only check what we take in, but they check how we spend it, every penny. So when you send money to the Christian Worship Hour, it's going where we say it's going. It's going to preach the gospel. So I hope you'll write. And in the meantime, also say you want the new song. And so now we're going to ask Jan. She's going to play something. I'm going to say a little prayer, first of all, for the offering. Jan's going to play. You do what the Lord lays on your heart. And, well, if we have the money come in, all right. If we don't, then we'll close up and go fishing. But we'll leave that to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us over the years, almost 40 years now. You never failed us once. And so we just pray now you'll talk to your people and just do as you and help them to follow, be obedient to you. And Lord, we'll just settle for that. That'll be just fine. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Jan. God bless you. Boy, that fires me up. I'd like to start preaching here, but we got to look at our scripture, and we got to have Hank's got to sing. Oh, he's got a good song, too. So first, we want to look at the scripture, and it's 1 Samuel chapter 1, and starting with the 24th verse. And this takes place. Hannah is barren, and she's begged God for a child, and God gives, and she says, if you give me a child and it's a boy, I'll give him to you. I'll put him in the temple. And so God gives her little son, calls him Samuel. And then she takes him to the temple and leaves him. And Samuel becomes one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, one of the great men of God. And this is where she brings him to the temple. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. In our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Chad. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story, this godly woman taking that little boy and leaving him in the temple with old priest Eli. And how she did it because she loved you and had made a vow and a promise and she kept it. And how that little boy Samuel became one of God's greatest servants in the Old Testament. In all the Bible so far as that's concerned. And we're going to look at Samuel today. And so we just thank you for this story. Lord, we're praying today for all of those on beds of sickness, all who are shut in, those who are having troubles and trials, can't pay their bills. Maybe the children are gone astray. Maybe some of them are on drugs. Oh, my God. And others are maybe on beds of sickness. Maybe they are on wheelchairs. Some, Lord, are lonely. They don't have family. If they do have family, some of the families forgets about them, puts them in a home, forgets them. And but you don't forget them, and you'll never forget them. And you said that you will never leave us or forsake us. And in this service, may we encourage them, everyone. And may the result be that, Lord, in this service today, that multitudes will open their hearts to Jesus and find everlasting life. And multitudes be helped and encouraged and God be glorified. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank's going to sing for us. Take away Jesus. God bless you, Hank.
You could take all the pleasures I have to enjoy. I've still got a peace in my heart. You could take all the things that money could buy. I've got a mansion that time cannot scar. But take away Jesus, and I've got nothing to give. Take away Jesus, and I've got no reason to live without a heaven. Just bury me in the sand.
Take away Jesus,
I'd be a miserable man. You could take all the flowers that bloom in the spring, I'd still have a rose in my life. Take all the water out of the ocean, I've got a river that never runs dry. But take away Jesus, and I've got nothing to give.
Take away Jesus,
I've got no reason to live. Without a heaven, just bury me in the sand.
Take away Jesus,
I'd be a miserable man. But take away Jesus, and I've got nothing to give.
Take away Jesus, I've got no reason to live.
Without a heaven, just bury me in the sand.
Take away Jesus,
and I'd be a miserable man.
Take away Jesus,
and I'd be a miserable man.
God bless you, Hank. Thank you. You're so faithful, and all of you are so faithful. I appreciate that. And that's it. You can have the whole world, but if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. We get some letters, and you ask if Hank and Melissa have CDs, and they do for sale. And if you write to us, we'll see that you get their request, and you'll hear from them. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And Hank and Melissa both have CDs. We'll be glad to forward your letter. Well, we're talking about Samuel today. We have this month, the month of October, we're going to be having four sermons on four great people in the Old Testament. The first one, we're going to talk about Samuel, a man who was sold out to God. And then we're going to talk about Daniel, a man who finished well. Then we're going to have to talk about Esther, a shining star. And then finally, David, great sinner, great saint. I love to preach about these people. And so you just stay tuned, and you'll enjoy it too, I'm sure. So today it's Samuel. Samuel was the son of Elkanah, who was a pious Ephraimite. And his mother's name was Hannah, and she was a very godly woman. Hannah had long been childless, and it was her prayer that she might be given a son. So Hannah makes this a matter of prayer, and she beseeches God to give her a son. And the fact that Hannah went to Jehovah and shows that her faith and trust in God. She didn't go to the doctor. She didn't go to the witch doctor or anything else. She went to God. And Hannah promises, "Dear God, if you give me a son, I'll dedicate him to God's service." And she promised that as soon as the child was weaned, she would bring him to Shiloh. And she would dedicate him as a Nazarite. She would leave him there with the priest, a man called Eli, and he could minister in the Lord's house. So it was that God, in his great mercy, heard Hannah's prayer, and a son was born. Hannah names her precious little son Samuel. His name means name of God or a godly name. It may have been a part of a sentence that Hannah spoke when the baby was born. Maybe it had been a sentence like this when the little son was born. Hannah said, "I have asked for him a godly name," or "I have asked God him of the Lord, ask God of the Lord." And so Samuel as a child was prayed long before he was born. And God answered that prayer. Well, when Samuel was weaned and Hannah took him to Shiloh, to the temple to serve God, just as she promised. Well, people want to know how old Samuel was. We don't know. It could have been 2 or 3 years. It could have been 12 or to 14 years. We know he was young. Maybe it's somewhere in between there. But he was young, probably maybe in the middle of that. So the little child Samuel is left at the temple with the priest Eli. Not much is known of Eli. He was a pious man. He was a godly man. And he was nearing the age of 90. Good grief, 90. But he had two wicked sons who served with him in the priesthood at Shiloh. Their names was Hophni and Phinehas. These two brothers were called sons of Belial. In the Old Testament, that was the worst thing you could say about a son, about a child, or a person. Son of Belial. It basically means worthlessness. It was a name used for the dissolute. It was used for the reprobate. It was used for the uncouth. And these two sons of godly Eli were about as evil and wicked as anyone could imagine. And they were just typical of Israel at that time, because they were ruled by what they called the judges. And everybody did that was right in his own eyes. That's what we have in America today. And it led to the downfall of Israel, and God have mercy on America and the other nations of the world too. And so it was in this situation, she left her little son Samuel. And Samuel became a servant to the agent Eli. And one of his duties was to open the temple doors and close the temple doors and do chores around and do whatever he wanted. And every year without fail, this dear mother would come to the temple. And when she came, she always brought him a little coat that she'd made herself. And every year she came, she brought the coat a little bigger, until one day it was for a strong man. And then something happened, took place in the temple. Just when it took place, we do not know. But we know that it was still while Samuel was a little boy, lad, the Lord came to him in the night with a message. And three times Samuel hears this from someone calling his name. And he doesn't know what to do. And so he goes to the old priest, Eli, now approaching 97 years of age. His eyesight was failing. And the third time Eli tells Samuel, answer. He says, if he calls your name again, say, speak, for thy servant heareth. And you know something? That was Samuel's life motto. Speak, for thy servant heareth. And God called on Samuel to do some hard tasks, but Samuel always did it. So whereupon God gave Samuel a message of judgment, and he says to tell Eli. He says there's a judgment upon Eli and upon his two wicked sons, a sad message, and one that he hated to tell, and it'll break his heart to tell. And so as a young lad, he just waited a little bit. And then Samuel was undoubtedly struck. A terrible judgment is coming up. He says, God says, judgment is coming upon Eli and upon the two sons. The young lad has to come and wonder what he's going to tell him. What am I going to tell Samuel? But in the morning, Samuel went about the business of opening the gates. And there it was that Eli could tell something had happened to Samuel in the night. Some message had been given him. And Eli had a premonition. There was some hard word from the Lord God. He just felt it in his soul. And earlier, God had warned Eli to set his house in order, to discipline his sons, to cleanse his way of life. But Eli hadn't done it. And God had told him in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. So Eli knew the judgment was coming. God warned him. If he didn't straighten up his house, he was going to suffer that way. And so that's exactly what Samuel is telling him. And after he told the old priest Eli, Eli said, it is of the Lord. Let him do as he seemeth good in his sight. Samuel grew to be a young man. He grew in stature before the people of Israel. They could see that he was a godly man, a God-fearing man. They respected him right off of the bat. And so God could let the people of Israel know this God, that Samuel is going to be his prophet. He let the people just know in their hearts. And then finally, we are told in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 20, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Thus it was as Samuel grew up before the Lord. God just put it in the hearts of the people, this is my man. Samuel is my prophet. And so God now opens the doors for the Philistines to attack Israel. And the attack comes near Ebenezer. Israelites suffers a great defeat. About 4,000 men are killed in the battle with the Philistines. And the Israelites are stunned. And before they go into the next battle, they say, we're going to take the Ark of the Covenant with us because that'll bring us good luck. So they took the Ark with them and the two sons of Eli. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And the Ark is carried away by the Philistines, a crushing defeat. Then a messenger comes back from the battlefield with the devastating news, tells the whole city that breaks out weeping and wailing. And Eli, hearing the uproar, comes and asks the messenger, what is this all about? And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 4, and the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old. His eyes were dim and he could not see. And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath also been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that Eli fell from off the seat backward to the side of the gate and broke his neck and died, for he was an old man and heavy. And he had judged Israel 40 years. And so with the death of the old priest Eli, now Samuel comes on the picture. And Samuel comes on the scene, and he is alone. He is a prophet of Israel, and so we are told in the third chapter. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. And so now Israel has to flee because the Philistines are taking over. The battle are being lost, and they have to run for their life. And they go to a place called Shiloh, and they stay there. And then Samuel goes out of the picture for 20 years. And we don't know what happened. We don't know where he was or what he did. But for 20 years, God was training him, teaching him, preparing him. So then Samuel led Israel as their judge and prophet. He was a man who totally trusted God. He was a man who believed in God. He was a man who was a noble man. He was a man that was honest and true. In his old age, Samuel set up two sons also as judges, Joel and Abijah. That were not good sons. They proved to be men who perverted justice, and the men took bribes. And here, can you imagine, a godly man like Samuel, and he has two sons that are wicked. And how do you explain it except the working of sin? After a time, the Israelites revolted against the two sons and demanded to have a king. And so God instructs Samuel to anoint Saul to become Israel's first king. But Saul is not a man of God. He's headstrong, he's vain, he's proud, he's self-willed, he's selfish, he's disobedient to God. He could have been so much. And so as a result, God rejected Saul's leadership, and Samuel has to give him a message. It's difficult for Samuel because Samuel loved Saul. For some reason, he was taken up with Saul. He loved Saul. And so, but he was a pattern, of practice of his life. Samuel was true to God. And so God is going to give him a message to take to Saul. It's not going to be a good message. But remember this, Samuel's the whole thing in life is motto in life. Do as the Lord will do. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And so he says, Samuel, then it goes to Saul. And he tells him, you're going to be in a battle. Your son's going to be killed, and you're going to be killed. And then Samuel leaves Saul. And it's recorded in one of the saddest words in the Bible, that after Samuel had to tell Saul that, we read in the Bible, Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Samuel never came to see Saul again, and he mourned for him the rest of his life. And then God calls Samuel to go to another place to pick up somebody Saul's place. He's a young lad, a shepherd lad, the youngest son of Jesse, and he is to be the second king of Israel. But Samuel never lived to see David on his throne. He just wished he could have, but he didn't. Maybe he did from heaven, but he anointed him. As a matter of fact, when Samuel died, David was being hunted in the wilderness in En-Gedi. He was being pursued. He didn't look like a king at all. But when God is going to do something, when God ordains something, it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. And Samuel was buried. Then Samuel died, not seeing David as the king. And it says he was buried in his own house. That is, he had a house with a yard. He was buried in the yard, and the people came and made a monument. So what do we take from Samuel's life? That's what we're interested in today. First of all, the lessons he leaves us, we can observe the power of a mother's prayer. Before Samuel was ever born, his mother prayed for him. And her consecration to giving to the Lord was accompanied by the prayer to God, that God would take him and use him. And somebody says, when God needs a great man, he always raises a mother first, a good mother first. A mother's prayer is so important. I thank God for my mother's prayers. And I'm sure you do yours if you had a Christian mother. And this mother's prayers, or lack of it, makes a tremendous difference in the life of a child. Some mothers don't pray. Some mothers don't care. Somebody let them run wild. For instance, you read about the horrible, terrible Nero and all of the sins and crimes and terrible wickedness he was. We're not surprised when we found out that his mother was a murderess. Or that the worldly wicked poet Byron had a mother who was violent and vain and passionate. But when we read of the godly Saint Augustine, we read it with a mother that had great prayer. Or John Wesley, who had mothers had a large family, but she took time to pray with each boy, each child separately, a godly mother. And so when we read of Samuel, we're not surprised that he says, I ask of the Lord, and he gave me this Lord, and I have lent him to the Lord. This mother, this Christian mother. Oh, my friends, if you have a Christian mother, you listen to her and you obey her and you thank her. And maybe the time is all of her children are grown. You spend time with your mother. You owe her so much. And they are so important. And Hannah was all important in Samuel's life. And then Samuel tells us, make God the center of your life. Hank has just been singing about Jesus. Without Jesus, we have nothing. And God, this Jesus, this has to be the center of our life. And he's always seeking God. That's what Samuel was. He was always seeking after God. He was always trying to decide what God wanted and to feel what God wanted. And Jesus later told us, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, it was a long time before Jesus was born, but that's the way it was with Samuel. He was constantly in touch with God, and he always thought and taught God's word and was true to God's. Samuel's life revolved around God, and that's where you got to be, and I have to be, if we're going to be all that God wants us to be. We must live in like fashion. We must think upon his name. We must see, would this please God? Is this pleasing to the Lord? Would Jesus do, what would he do in this situation? What would the Lord have me to do today? What do you want me to do? Be ever conscious of his presence. God tells us to pray without ceasing. That means be always close to God. That means always have him in your thoughts. That is, every breath you take, think of God and talk about God. That's what Samuel preached, and he practiced what he preached. He told Israel, turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Follow God closely. Never deviate. Never turn from the path. Serve the Lord always. Be busy in the Lord's work. Give your life to the Lord. Get into a body of believers where the Bible is preached, and honor Christ with a group of people with all your heart. When our heart is in it, we will enjoy it. And the commandments of God are not burdensome, but they are a joy when God is the center of our heart. That's the way Samuel lived. And then always, Samuel tells us, always be true to God's word. That is, God, Samuel always gave God's message, whether it is what guidance and direction, whether it was reproof or correction, whether it was felt good or whether it burned like fire. Samuel said what God wanted him to say, word for word and line for line. So it was as Samuel, as a little lad, went on to tell the old priest and gave him a message. His priesthood would end, his sons would die, he himself would die. That's a hard message, but Samuel gave it. So it was later that Samuel went to King Saul. He told him his kingdom would be taken from him, that he would fail, that his sons would die the same day. It was hard. Samuel was always faithful to God, whether it was a blessing or a judgment. And to this day, when Saul had to fight the fight, the day came when he had to fight the fight. And what did he do? Samuel isn't there. Saul had a premonition that things weren't going to go well the next day in the battle. He needed some guidance. He needed some direction. Samuel is dead. So he searches for someone to help him. And guess what? He goes to the underworld. He goes to a witch that lives at Endor. And that's where he gets his direction and his guidance. And the evil witch asks of Saul. He says, what the evil witch says, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to call up? And maybe Saul would say, call up Moses. Call up some of the great people of the past. The witch says to Saul, who do you want me to call up from the dead? And Saul says, call me up Samuel. He knew that Samuel would level with him. He wanted to see Samuel. Call up Samuel. You know, I've been in the ministry for a long time, 72 years, on my third 73 years. And I'm going to tell you, people appreciate a pastor is true to God's word. They may not always agree with you. They may not always like it. They may become angry with you and your message. But I have discovered that when they face death, when they face eternity, when they're going to face God, they take that pastor who was honest and fair and square and gave them the truth. Be like Samuel, no matter how the people receive it or not. Give the word of God and never back off an inch. And finally, always look to God for guidance. Samuel knew where true wisdom lay. He knew where he could find the answer. It wasn't from man. Believe me, it was from God. How foolish we are when we consult men, when we should consult God. Saul did just the opposite, wouldn't you see? When he had decisions to make, he made them without God. He was his own God. He was a humanist way back in his day. And Saul, when he comes to the great crisis of life, when he stands at the eve of the battle, and he's going to lose his sons in death, he's going to lose his life in death, he's going to lose his kingdom in death, where does he go for help? He goes to a witch. The witch of Endor. Friend, listen to me. We need to live so close to Jesus Christ. When the storm clouds break, we don't even give it a second thought. We turn to Jesus. We turn to God. It just has to be second nature. It has to be our whole nature that when we have those troubles and trials, we turn to God. We've been doing it so long. We have been walking with him so consistently. It is so natural that it's drawing our own breath. We turn to God. But you have to have a faith, my friend, to do that. You have to know God personally. You have to know him. Your parents can't give you that faith. Your spouse can't give you that faith. Your friends can't give you that faith. It has to be your own. Samuel had it. Saul didn't have it. And I'm going to ask you today now, do you have it? Do you have Jesus Christ in your heart and your life? Do you have a faith like that? If you want, say no. I'm honest with myself. In my heart of hearts, I know I do not have that faith and that confidence and that trust. Then I'll tell you what to do. You go to Jesus and you tell him you're a sinner. He knows it. He wants you to confess it. And you tell him, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. I want to make you my Lord. I want to make you my master. And I'll serve you the best I can. And thank him for saving your soul. You can do that. Anybody can do that. You see, you're going to have to decide it because your Samuel's faith didn't help Saul. And somebody else's faith. You remember the story of the virgins? And then they said, give me your oil. And the virgins says, no, we can't. They can't give your other person their faith. You can't, nobody can give it to you. You have to call upon the name of the Lord and you have to walk with Jesus Christ and read that Bible and be in a church where they preach the gospel and live for Christ. And then you have a faith like Samuel. Otherwise, you're going to be looking for the witches someplace and they're going to take you to hell. You want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell? It's all up to you. Not up to your wife, not up to your friends or anybody else, just you. And if you want Jesus Christ to save you, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Ask him to come into your heart, take away your sin, and then rejoice in him. Or you can say, no, I'll chance it by myself. That's what Saul did. You want to die like Saul? Now, if you've accepted Jesus, you write to us. We'll send you literature, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on thechristianworshiphour.com. We need to hear from you, and we want to help you in the Christian life. And you need to help us with your prayers and your gifts. So you just write to us, christianworshiphour.com. Now I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us. Even in our sin, Saul, God loved Saul, dear, but he wouldn't turn. He wouldn't turn to you. And he insisted on going his own way, and he ended in hell. Oh, dear Jesus, we pray that multitudes will come to you. And we pray for those on beds of sickness, and we pray for those in old age who can't get around to church anymore, and this is their church. We pray that you'll bless them, encourage them, and just help them to rejoice in Jesus and help them to know that you said you'd never leave them or forsake them, and you always keep your word. Oh, God, bless hearts, bless souls, and honor your name. We just want to honor your name in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're happy to be with you all. We just thank you for opening your homes to us. Hope you opened your heart to Jesus. And those of you who know the Lord, take heart, take heart. Look at Samuel. He went through some tough times, but he finished strong. He stayed with the Lord, and God took him home. Someday we'll see him, talk to him, talk to him all about it. But we won't see Saul, will we? So God bless you, and we're just praying you'll have a good week. We pray you'll tune us in. Pray you'll tell your friends. Pray for us. Think about us. And next week, we'll be back, Lord willing. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.